So the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 6 beginning at verse 24. Praise and glory to God. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
Would you like to take a seat? Diana, can I pray for you as you start? By the way, you may have caught on that today is a very bready theme. There may be some bits of bread scattered around. And we're looking forward to all the bread that comes in the month of August in the lectionary. So, Diana, can I pray for you as you start? Loving God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be together to dig into your word. We thank you for Diana and her faithfulness as she's looked at the scripture, and we're just expectant that your spirit will move in us through the words that she'll share today. Amen.
Perfect, thank you. Why are you here? It's a deceptively simple question, yet one that often leaves us pondering deeply. What brings us together in this sacred space on a Sunday morning? Are we here for ourselves, seeking spiritual nourishment, emotional solace, or perhaps a sense of community? Or are we here for others, drawn by familial tradition or a desire to connect with something greater than ourselves? In Douglas Adams' whimsical exploration in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, his characters humorously quest for the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. While his approach is lighthearted, the question itself resonates profoundly across cultures and centuries. Consider Jesus, who for many of us is the reason that we gather here today, and rightly so. How has he called you to these pews? What purpose does this gathering serve in your journey with Jesus? These are weighty considerations for a Sunday morning, yet they are here at the heart of our collective reflection today. As we delve in today's gospel reading, let us explore this together. Jesus has just miraculously fed a crowd of 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, satisfying all who came to him. After being served a small banquet, in a time when food, especially for large numbers, could be quite scarce, it is understandable that crowds would want to seek him out, even after he departed. When they find Jesus on the other side of the lake, they inquire about when he had arrived. Jesus responds pointedly, saying, "Very truly, I tell you, you are seeking me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. for on him God the Father has set his seal. Jesus admonishes the crowd, implying, you have focused on the immediate benefits, missing the greater truth. You've followed me because I have fed you, and not because I am your Messiah. A classic case of missing the forest for the trees. A situation that, unfortunately, we all can know too well. Consider this example from Tom Wright, previous Bishop of Durham and academic theologian, who gives an illustration of a historian who was rushing to complete his PhD. He hurriedly visits the galleries, noting down the names, the dates, his influences of important paintings from the period that he was studying. He finishes his PhD, yet in all of his scribbling, he never stood back to let the paintings speak in their own language to him. He missed the opportunity to personally appreciate them and to note how they had affected him. So again, I ask you to consider, why are you here? What events in your life have led you to this moment, shaping your role in the world? What is your motivation and your purpose as intended by God? While perhaps you weren't drawn to Christianity by the direct experience of Jesus feeding the 5,000 people, undoubtedly there are aspects of your journey that have influenced you to live as a disciple of Christ. And it is the experience that continues to link you to God. And have you used those moments as guides to lead you to the bigger truth that you now rest in? I do somewhat admire those who claim that they've never received a sign or a word from God, and yet they remain steadfast in their belief and their relationship with him. It takes extraordinarily faith to worship and follow God without tangible confirmation of his existence in your own life. Personally, I couldn't muster such unwavering faith in God alone. During my teenage years, I grappled with the existential questions, facing hardships that made life seem a bit like an endless cycle of work and inevitable death. A rather bleak perspective, I know. Yet, I know I was not alone in feeling this way, and many do share similar feelings within society before and still now. I thank God daily for knowing me intimately enough and recognising my need for something more in my own life to strengthen my commitment to him. It was a pivotal moment for me when a friend offered to pray for me. That night, through vision, I had confirmation of his reality. He answered my prayer, profoundly transforming my life and anchoring my heart with him forever. Through every challenge, how difficult and unsettling they could be. While this experience marked a turning point for me, I realised I couldn't rely solely on this vision or assume a perpetually blissful existence thereafter just because of that one moment. Apparently God doesn't work like that. Who knew? I am here and I am the way I am because of everything in life that has happened to me, both before and after that moment. This is precisely why God came to me the way he did, precisely when he did. Why are you here? Because I need to be. Just last week, Rebecca shared a powerful message with us, highlighting how, as Christians, we have been drawn into patterns and values of the world around us. In our relentless pursuit of tasks and accomplishments and what we perceive as crucial, we may have lost sight of the essence of living fully in the present moment. Are we perhaps overlooking what truly matters? It's time for us to reassess our purpose and refocus on what is truly important. So often in life, our perceptions become distorted, placing excessive emphasis on things that ultimately do not matter. We strive for what we think we need and what we believe is important, urgent matters with work and life that demand our immediate attention, only to realise that by focusing so much on these things, we overlook what truly matters. just like the crowds who sought Jesus because he had fed them, not because of the message of hope and promise he had to share. They were blinded by what they deemed was important, missing what they truly needed to embrace and understand. In a song that I love, it's called "Hello, Turn Your Radio On" by Shakespeare's sister, one of the most memorable lyrics of the song reflects, "Life is a strange thing, and just when you think you've learned how to use it, it's gone." This poignant reminder encourages us to confront the fleeting nature of our existence and to not fall into the trap of superficial understandings. Let us instead strive to learn from the example of the crowds and recognise that Jesus is the embodiment of truth and life. By placing him at the centre of our lives, we allow his presence to act as a divine filter, reshaping our perceptions and refining our needs. This alignment helps us to discern what is truly essential amidst the noise of everyday life. So, as we reflect on our journey and our purpose, ask yourself, why are you here? Thankfully, while God knows the answer to the profound question, what is now important is that each of us begins to seek to understand what that question means for ourselves. Amen.